This morning, I'm going to preach on the subject, the next step of faith. The next step of faith. And tonight, as I mentioned earlier, I'm going to preach on a journey of faith. It's not a two-part message, but the messages are closely linked. There was a Chinese a wise man that said this proverb. He said, a thousand-mile journey starts with a single step. A journey of faith starts with a single step of faith. And a journey of faith consists of taking the next steps of faith as they come to us. The Bible has much to say about faith. It tells us what it is. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It talks about those that have come before us, our elders. They obtained a good report by faith. Hebrews 11, 2, for by it, faith, the elders obtained a good report. It tells us that when we exercise our faith, we please God. Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible tells us how to get more faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And again, that's why I encourage every single one of you, get a Bible reading schedule. Read your Bible. That's where faith comes from. The Bible also tells us that we live by faith. Four different times in the Bible. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, Romans chapter 1, verse 17, Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, and Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible says this, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And so just from those few scriptures, you can see that faith is a good thing. Every person should want more faith. Every person should work to get more faith. And every person should be willing to take the next step of faith. You see, all of us here this morning are at a different place on our journey of faith. We're at different places. And yet we all have one thing in common. We all need to take the next step of faith. And that's different for every single one of us. And yet, I would dare say, as I've talked about it, you know what comes to your mind right now. You know exactly what I'm talking about. God is talking to you about something. He's asking the question, hey, do you believe that I'm really God? Do you believe that you can really trust me? Do you believe that I'm able to handle anything that comes up in your life? Will you take that next step of faith that I put out there before you, that I want you to take so that you can grow and so that your faith can increase? I want to talk to three groups of people this morning. The first group of people I want to talk to are those that next step of faith, or whose next step of faith is to trust Jesus as your Savior. You're like the lady that Adam read about, or that we read about in Luke chapter 8. That lady that was sick for 12 years. The Bible says she had an issue of blood. The Bible also says that life is in the blood. And so as she had this issue where she was bleeding for this 12 years, her life was ebbing away. She tried everything that doctors had to offer. In fact, the Bible says she spent her living, her savings accounts, her IRAs, all her retirement accounts. She spent everything she had to try to find a doctor that could help her, and she was no better. They could not help her. She was still dying. She heard about Jesus. Again, the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing. And so she heard about Jesus, and people came to her, and maybe it was a relative, maybe it was a neighbor, maybe it was a friend, and they said, hey, you hear what Jesus did? He's healing people. He's made blind people see, and he's made lame people walk, and he's made deaf people hear. He could probably help you. And I think this lady at first was skeptical. She was doubtful. I've tried every doctor in the city. I've spent all my money. He's a preacher. He's a teacher. Whoever he is, what can he do? But people kept coming back to her. They kept telling her what Jesus did. They said, did you hear what Jesus did today? He took 5 little loaves and 2 little fish. And he fed 5,000 men plus all the ladies and the children that were there. Did you hear what Jesus did today? He cast out demons. There was a man that was possessed by a demon, and Jesus just spoke, and the demon left. They kept coming to her, and they said, did you hear what Jesus did today? He was out on a boat with his disciples, and he said to the wind and the sea, peace be still. And there was a great calm. And then one day, somebody came to her and said, did you hear what Jesus did today? He saw a funeral in the city of Nain. A widow had lost her only son, and he stopped the funeral procession, and he told that boy to come back to life, and he came back to life. And something began to happen in that lady's heart. This lady who had given up all hope, this lady who was just ready to die because she thought nobody else could help her, she said this, maybe this one called Jesus could help me. So she goes to see him. She hears him teach and hears him preach. And she says, I never heard a man speak like that. She was there when he healed somebody else. And she said, I never saw anything like that before. And she says, I think he can help me. So she devised a plan. She didn't think she was worthy to go to him and ask for his help, but she said, here's what I'll do. I'll just get in the crowd, and I'll get up close to him, and when he turns his back, I'll just reach down and touch the hem of his robe, the bottom of his robe, because I think if I just touch what he's wearing, it will heal me. So the next day, she joined the crowd. She got right up next to him. She waited till his back was turned. And without a word, she just knelt down and she touched the hem of his garment. And the Bible says this, the flow of her blood was staunched. She knew that healing had come immediately. What doctors had been trying to do for 12 years, Jesus did in a split second. She tried to sneak away. I'm sure she was rejoicing. I'm sure she wanted to shout. But she says, I just got to get away. I just got to slip away. But she couldn't. Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched me? And Peter and the other disciples said, Lord, there's hundreds of people around you. What do you mean, who touched you? Somebody just brushed up against you. He said, no. Somebody touched me on purpose. Virtue has gone out of me. And the lady, when she saw that she couldn't escape, the Bible says she came trembling. She fell down before him. And she says, I'm the one. I've been sick for 12 years. And I thought if I could just come and touch the hem of your robe, I could be healed. And I came and I did it. And I've been healed. The condition that I've had is gone. I am whole. And Jesus said to her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Go in peace. There's some people sitting in a room this morning that are just like that lady. You're sick. And your sickness is sin. Your life, like hers, is ebbing away, slipping away, because you're dying. You're not whole. There's something missing in your life, and you have no peace. You've tried all the world has to offer, but the world has no help. It has no cure. It has no remedy. Let me diagnose your case this morning. What you need is the one that Brother Wendell just sang about. You need Jesus. You need to come into his presence. You need a relationship with him. The Bible says that we were created to have a relationship with God. But when sin came into our world, and when sin came into our life, that relationship was broken. And by the way, don't think that you're immune to this disease. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. So every single one of us is suffering, whether you realize it or not. You have this disease this morning. This disease called sin. And the punishment of that disease, or what we get from that disease, is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death, to be separated from God. To be out of God's presence. To not have God's fellowship. And Jesus comes to every single one of you like he offered to that lady. He didn't say it out loud, but he taught it. He preached it. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, I'm the way back to God. That relationship that you had with God before you sinned, I can restore. That relationship that you need in your life to give you completeness, to give you wholeness, I can restore. He said, I am the way back to God, the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now listen to me. The Bible says that God has dealt to every person a measure of faith. Every single person here this morning, this may be your first time in church. This may be the first time you've heard that Jesus and God loves you. This may be the first time that you've ever considered that you need something in your life to make it complete. You have enough faith to do what that lady did that day. You have enough faith to come to Jesus and say, I'm a sinner. And I know the wages of sin is death. I'll believe that old preacher up there when he says it, the wages of sin is death. I also believe that Jesus was God's Son. And when he went to the cross, he took all of my sins upon him and he died for my sins. And this morning I'm going to exercise that little bit of faith that I have and I'm going to ask Jesus to be my Savior. You're here this morning, you've never done that. Would you do it? Would you do it? You're not going to be complete until you do. You see, God made you. A piece of you needs him. A piece of you is just shriveling up and dying in your life right now because you don't have him. And the only way you can get him is to come to Christ. Would you trust him this morning? Would you take that next step of faith and say, I'm going to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior? There's a second group of people I want to talk to this morning. Those are the people whose next step of faith is to trust Jesus in the middle of the storm. Some of you this morning are here like Peter was in Matthew chapter 14. The disciples had spent a day hearing Jesus teach and preach. At the end of the day, that was the day he took those 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed the 5,000 men plus the women and the children. He told his disciples, hey, go get into a ship. You go back home. Go on to the other side of the lake. I'll send the people away. Jesus did that. Disciples got into a ship. A storm came up. The Bible says they were tossed about by the waves and the wind. And in verse 25 of Matthew chapter 14, the Bible says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Disciples saw him. They thought he was a ghost, a spirit, and they were troubled and they were afraid and they cried out. And Jesus said this, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And here's what Peter says. He said, Lord, if it's really you, if it's really you, bid me come to you on the water. Bid me come to you. Let me walk on the water. There's some people here this morning that are in the middle of a storm. You're in the middle of a storm. You've lost your job. Things are tight. You don't know how you're going to make ends meet. Some of you are suffering a sickness, or somebody you love is suffering a sickness that the doctors can't do anything about. Some of you have a wayward child. Some of you have trouble in your marriage. Some of you here this morning that have lost a spouse. You've lost a husband. You've lost a wife. And I could go on, and I could list many things that folks are going through, folks in this room this morning, in the middle of a storm of life. And you're trying to handle it on your own. You're trying to handle it with your strength. You're trying to handle it with your wisdom. You're trying to handle it with the resources that you have in yourself. And you feel just like the disciples did in the middle of that ship. You feel like your life is being tossed about with the wind and the waves. You're afraid. You tremble and you cry out. And this morning I want to say to you, look up. Look out. You're not alone. There is one standing close to you. Maybe you can't see him because of the waves and the wind and because of your fears, but there is somebody standing close to you that promised, I will never leave you or forsake you. And he's waiting for you to say the same thing that Peter said to him. Lord, if it's really you, bid me come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come on, Peter. Come on. You know why? Because that's why Jesus sent the storm. And that's why Jesus sends the storms into our life. He wants us to take that next step of faith and say, Jesus, I want to get closer to you. I can't handle what I'm going through by myself. I don't have the strength. I don't have the resources. I don't have the wisdom. And Jesus said, I know you don't. That's why I sent the storm. Go ahead and step out of the boat. Step out of yourself. Step out of what you're trying to handle the storm with and get close to me. Peter stepped out of that boat, and as long as he had his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on the water and get closer to Jesus. But do you remember what happened when he took his eyes off Jesus? He began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me! And Jesus reached down and pulled him up out of the water, and he said this, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? O thou of little faith, why did you doubt me? You should have kept your eyes on me. I would have helped you get through the storm. We sang that song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth, all the storms that we go through, and all the heartaches that we go through, and all the pain and the sorrow we go through, will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Will you take that next step of faith? Will you get out of yourself? And would you get closer to Jesus in the middle of the storm? Third group of people. I got to be quick. I'm almost out of time. There's a group of people here that your next step of faith is to get somebody that you love to Jesus. That's your next step of faith, to get somebody you love to Jesus. You're like the father in Matthew chapter 17. His son was possessed by a devil. He was a lunatic, sore vexed, the Bible says. Falleth into the fire and into the water oft. You're like those four friends in Mark chapter 2 who brought one lame of the palsy to Jesus, and they couldn't get in because of the crowd, and so they went up on the roof and they tore a hole in the roof and let that man down before Christ. I don't have time to tell you the whole story. Jesus healed the boy. He cast the devil out of the boy. Jesus healed the man of palsy. And he did not heal the boy. He did not heal the man of palsy because of their faith. It wasn't the boy's faith that got him healed. It wasn't the man sick of palsy's faith that got him healed. Jesus healed the boy because of his father's faith. And Jesus healed the man sick of the palsy because of the faith of the four friends that brought him to Christ. There are people in your life that need Jesus. There are people in your life that need him for their Savior. There are people in your life that need him as that help and that rock, that one that can steer them through this life. And they don't have enough faith to come on their own. They need somebody to take them by the hand like that dad did his boy that day and said, come on, I'm going to take you to somebody that can help you. They don't have the faith like that man that was sick of the palsy, and they need some friends that will pick them up and say, come on, I'm going to take you to somebody that can help you. In your faith, the next step in your faith could be the faith that leads to somebody you love receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior. Or your faith, your next step of faith, could be the faith that takes that one in the middle of the storm and shows them the anchor, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why we don't take that next step of faith? Because we don't believe God can do anything. You say, well, just a minute, preacher. I got faith. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, for by grace are ye saved through faith. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'm depending on Him in the storms for life. Okay. And why don't you bring your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, your neighbor, the person you work with. Why don't you help them get to Jesus? You believe that He can help them too? I do. And your next step of faith is to say, so do I. So do I. I'm going to bring them to Jesus. The next step of faith, what is it for you? Is it to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? Is it to trust Him in the middle of the storm? Some of us are still being rocked around in those boats. We're so sick we can't see straight. Get out of the boat. Get on the water. Walk to Christ. Some of us, the next step of faith is to take somebody we love and take them to Jesus. Would you do that? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this book. Thank you that it tells us how you want us to live. The just shall live by faith. And I pray that we'd be a people that want more faith. Father, I pray for those that are here this morning that need to take the